Set your course for the Hoth system. General Veers, prepare your men.
All troops will debark for ground assault. Prepare to target the main generator.
Echo Station 3TA.
On an Imperial Walker.
Attack pattern Delta. Go now. Watch that clock fire, boys. Right now, I feel like I can take on the whole Empire myself.
Target, maximum firepower.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Echo Base. This is episode number 110, and we're recording this on Tuesday, August 22nd. And I am joined by my two semi-normal co-hosts, Tim and Chris. Chris, how are you tonight?
I'm good. I have an announcement to make.
Ooh.
I've changed my last name.
You did?
Yes. It is no longer MacGuffin.
Okay.
It is now Chris Porgguffin.
No.
Porgguffin. Yeah.
That's fine. I can roast you on a spit, too.
Oh, my. You know, before we talk to Tim, we heard his voice here. Before we talk to Tim, I was at a convention over the weekend, and one of my favorite artists here in Connecticut that does some really awesome Star Wars stuff. We're talking about what he's got planned, what he's doing for New York Comic Con, and getting tidbits out of him. I said, hey, whatever you do, when you start doing stuff for The Last Jedi, don't do a Porg. Just don't do that. I don't care how big of a character he is or what he becomes. Just don't do it. He did say, well, I have to wait and see what he's doing and what he becomes. Looks like he might be, you know, flying the Falcon or something. Like, oh, God, please, no. Anyway, Tim, I might as well introduce you now. How are you doing tonight, Tim?
I am doing pretty darn well, aside from the whole Chris last name thing.
Chris Porg. Can we just call him Porg?
I'm mildly traumatized by that.
Yep, I think maybe we'll just call him Porg. No, hey, Porg, how you doing? Oh my. So the convention I was at, I did pick up a couple cool prints, and these are Star Wars related, so I'll definitely mention this. Joe Caroni was there, who I love his stuff. He does a lot of he had that series of prints that had the stormtroopers on them. It had like the Unite and the Conquer, and you know, kind of like the throwback to the 1950s kind of propaganda posters, which I loved. He did a tribute print for Carrie Fisher, Princess Leia, for Denver Comic Con, and he had a few of those left, and he was selling them. So I picked up one of those. I just couldn't resist. It was her in the center, dressed as she's gonna be dressed in the upcoming movie, and then I think six faces of her from different stages of her Star Wars career. So
cool.
Pretty cool. I mean, I was pretty happy to get that. It's just kind of unique. I don't normally go for the whole tribute thing, but I don't know. It just spoke to me, so I figured I'd pick that up.
Nice. Very nice.
Yeah, I was excited for that. I guess let's just get right into the news. Not much happening now, but a couple things were announced. We did see, was it 2 weeks ago at Gen Con, or was it last weekend? I think it was 2 weeks ago, wasn't it?
Last weekend.
It was just this past weekend?
Yeah.
I saw the press releases about this, but Fantasy Flight Games has released, or at least revealed, the new miniature game, Legion. And this is kind of a Battlefield miniature game, more so than their other stuff has been in the past. They wanted to do a miniature game that wasn't based in space with ships. Mm-hmm. They wanted it with characters, on the battlefield, and it looks pretty cool. The one thing I kind of temper that with is it looks really cool because they have some really awesome looking figures here, but the ones that are going to come in the boxes are unpainted.
Correct.
So, yeah. I mean, there's stuff for X-Wing that comes pre-painted that are so awesome, and I don't have time to paint myself, and I'm probably horrible at it because I've only done it years ago. But the figures they show are just really, really well painted, you know, in the promotional materials here. But I guess learn how to paint, I guess, would be the way to do it and go forward.
I don't have time to do that.
That's the problem, but a well-painted miniature makes the whole thing, you know, especially if there's people good enough to do the shadowing and the highlights, and it's like, wow, it just looks awesome. But
yeah,
I am nowhere near that good. So mine will be like, you know, a 3-year-old painted them. Have you guys read up on this game?
Yeah, I have. And not only did I read up on it, but I had kind of my own personal spy at Gen Con.
Nice.
Yeah, my stepson, Nick, who is a big gamer. We do lots of tabletop games. Usually try to get a family game night going at least once a week, and he's recently moved out. So, but luckily he's close enough, and he was really excited because he had a heck of a haul. He took pictures once he got home of the stacks of games that he scored at Gen Con. And so he's excited about coming over Saturday night, and we'll have dinner and we'll play probably at least two of the games.
Sweet.
But before I even saw the press release for this, he sent me a picture of the demo that he got to sit in on or attend or watch or, you know, whatever the particular situation was. And I was pretty floored by it. I thought it looked really great. Obviously, the press releases show some additional pictures of what's out there. And, you know, Lou, as you said, these things come gray, just, you know, their regular plastic color.
Mm-hmm.
But there are, you know, you can paint them yourself. There's also a lot of folks in out in the gaming world who do a lot of these custom paint jobs.
Oh, yeah.
And my stepson is he's been big into War Machine. Not so much this year, but for about 2 years, he went really strong. He did a lot of tournaments and such. And, you know, very similarly, you have a lot of model figures that you're putting together. Either they're PVC, there are some that are metallic, or some that are a combination of the two. So there's actually a big model building element to it as well, mm-hmm. and that's pretty much part of the whole gaming experience. And some of the stuff that I saw from the pictures of Star Wars Legion really seem to pay heed to that, where you're putting together models of scout troopers on speeder bikes and that kind of stuff. So it's not just figures, but it's figures and vehicles and other things. And all these things can be painted. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you have a good steady hand and a lot of patience and a little bit of artistic ability, along with the extra money to throw at model paints and airbrushes and that kind of stuff. I mean, you can just like any hobby, you can really explode it out significantly and get bigger and better things, or you can go pretty simple with it.
A lot of it is really the painting is part of the experience and part mm-hmm. of the fun of this.
Yeah.
And I mean, I remember, you know, building models as a kid growing up. I loved building models, and the painting was half the fun.
Yes.
Making it look realistic in battle worn or whatever you were going for.
Oh, yeah.
That was my biggest, you know, disappointment with Imperial Assault, was that they came gray, especially after using the X-Wing stuff and having them come out perfect, you know, out of the box. But this looks to be really like a step beyond that, because these are more, you know, miniatures on a table being set up, not just little figures on a cardboard board that you have with Imperial Assault.
Right.
So, you know, more along the lines of the large tabletop, you know, wargaming, like, you know, War Machine and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
These look awesome. And of course, you know, the ones they have painted up for the, you know, press release and stuff just look amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Which you'd imagine they should. That's the way they'd want to show this off. But now I'm a little unclear. Mm. All the stuff that they have, I mean, obviously they had nicely done sets with, you know, good terrain and buildings and stuff. Are buildings part of this kit, or are these things they had built and made themselves, you think?
That's an interesting thing. I'm inclined to think that they made extra stuff, because, like, I know War Machine is, you can build terrain or buy terrain pieces separate, but out of the box, you're just buying
just figures. The figures, right? That's what I thought.
And with War Machine, I know, you know, again, from my stepson's experience, you kind of buy the base figures for your faction. And then there are additional ones that you can get. So kind of like the X-Wing game, you know, here's your base game, and then you can go out there and buy a Millennium Falcon or a Slave One or, you know, this special ship or that special ship. So kind of along the same lines. And Imperial Assault did a little bit of that, where you can go out and buy different figures and such, and you can they come with their own character cards that you can then integrate into.
Right, they had the expansion stories. Packs. Yep.
Yeah.
As I'm looking through the press release here, they do show. It says players will benefit from lush terrain, and it says it's unlikely that the 8 simple barricades in the box will satisfy all the players. Hmm. So I'm assuming these barriers that are showing the guys hiding behind are included, but then you're going to have to build your own sets per se. And with the advent of 3D printing technology coming a long way and getting cheaper, I imagine that's something that people will probably start doing.
Oh yeah. Or even old school stuff. I mean, my grandfather was a model railroader. And he built, like championship award winning railroad model sets. I mean, I remember in a house when my grandparents had lived in New Hampshire, half of his basement was a massive scale train table. And he had, a village and people and trees and
Tim, this is really scaring me because, we look alike and we say you're the evil twin now, but my grandfather did the same thing. He had a half a basement that was entirely a model railroad.
That's awesome.
And, right. I remember going with him to the store and buying trees and putting them into place, and he'd built the bridge out of wood. And you could get pretty crazy doing this stuff. It looks like a lot of fun, but it looks like a big time sink too. So
It does. But I mean, there's stuff that you can do that's, I think, a little bit more portable for a game, for a game like Star Wars Legion and, things that we've seen done for War Machine and such. It's what I'm looking forward to with Legion is something that is a little more simple than Imperial Assault. I like Imperial Assault, but the rules for it, particularly on the Empire side, to me were very, very confusing rules.
Yep, they're kind of cumbersome, and it's also, like most of the stuff from FFG, it's a lot of setup. And this looks like you can do a small skirmish without having to do a huge setup.
Yeah, and I like in here that a lot of the gameplay in Legion, from what I was reading, is actually fairly similar to the X-Wing game. Where
yeah, I got that impression too. You got rage rulers. You have movement templates.
Exactly. You have
upgrades per card and per character. I'm wondering how they're going to handle the expansion stuff though. Because it says the game comes with Vader and Luke, and it comes with troopers and there's a few other pieces to it. But I'm wondering how they're going to handle the expansion stuff when they start adding characters in. Will you go out and buy a Han Solo pack, or is you going to buy a pack of troopers like you do for Imperial Assault?
Yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what they do and how they do it. I mean, there are so many models, and by models, I mean just different examples of things that have been done, whether it's by FFG or by others, that they can work off of and look at a lot of different best practices. And I'm looking forward to it. I mean, the only downside to games like this, for as much as I want to play them, I live in such a small market where we are fortunate. We do have a couple of gaming stores. Like I said, my stepson is big into them. He does stuff at them pretty often, and I can always play with him. But if I wanted to play with other people, it's what other are there other people out there who I can play with and the small area that I'm in?
Yeah, I've got the same problem here in Connecticut, too. There's a couple gaming shops around here, but they're usually, 4 to 5 minutes to an hour away from where I am.
Yeah.
So it's not like I can just pop in there on a whim. It's a planned out, drive and session. But, I'd be up for this, too. It looks like it comes out in early 2018. And the base kit's going to cost $89.95, so $90, which is kind of on par with most of the tabletop stuff that FFG's done. So
that's it's not a surprising number. It seems to be pretty much in line with stuff. Chris, you're awfully quiet. I know you're generally not a big gamer. Is there anything about this that interests you?
I like the fact that it's more land stuff rather than in space. Mm-hmm. I've never played any of the FFG stuff. I have the, I want to say Imperial Assault, like, starter kit. It was gifted to me recently.
No.
But I have no one to play with, so.
No, I thought you got a copy of X-Wing. I thought somebody gave you that.
Oh, yeah, well, it was X-Wing, sorry.
Okay.
Yep.
In X-Wing, I think this will be like X-Wing, is one of the most accessible games they have.
Oh, yeah.
You can play just the starter kit with the three ships and have a lot of fun and get used to the play. Or you can go, you know, whole hog and buy all the ships and, you know, have multiple versions of each ship and everything else. But it's easy enough to pick up and start learning without having to, you know, go through an hour worth of instructions.
Mm-hmm.
So. Well, Chris, maybe we should change that when we go to New York Comic Con this year.
I agree. I've always wanted to play it.
Maybe we should find a time and kind of sit down and play. Well, I know Tim and Joel both have rooms in Midtown, Manhattan. Mm-hmm. And we can probably find some time to do that, maybe.
Yeah, I think it'd be fun.
Okay, let's see. Moving right along here. More Last Jedi product leaks. Well, I mean, this is part of the fun of. I mean, I don't go for spoilers. I'm not looking for things, but if there's toys that have been released, that maybe it's a spoiler, but they're not giving away huge plot points usually, right? So
no.
I can be okay with that.
Plus, based on this link that is in the show notes, it looks like it's just like a couple ships. So it's not. I've not seen Star Wars Twitter blow up about any massive leak yet.
Yeah, this is just a couple of Lego sets. Two of them in question.
Today is the 22nd, and that comes out, 9 days? So
We're a week away, right.
So we have a Resistance Transport Pod. I'm not sure if that's something that we have seen before in any concept. The other one is Kylo Ren's TIE Fighter, which has been out there, I think, a couple weeks ago. There was some imagery that was released on that, so there's really nothing spoilery about that. And I don't see how a Resistance Transport Pod is very exciting or spoilery. But
if it's big enough to make a Lego set out of it, I mean, it must be important.
Exactly.
I wouldn't go that far.
Well, I mean, we're not going to see a set made out of something you don't have anything to do with the movie very much. It's going to be something in the movie, I would think.
But maybe the issue about Lego is... But what's that? We've definitely seen the minifigs get released, and they have nothing to do with the movie.
Okay, true.
Mm-hmm.
But the nice thing about Lego is, even if it is out there in the wild, they don't usually give like a lot of detail about what it is you're building.
Yeah, there's like no...
Right, there's no backstory to it. Yeah, like on
it has
a figure
names, and that's about it.
Right, on a figure, you've got stuff on the back about who the figure is, what they do, you know, all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas Lego doesn't really do that. So if it is out, okay, fine. But... Yeah, that's kind of cool. I mean, stuff is squeaking out. I mean, I usually try to go a couple days before and see if it's sitting up on the top shelf somewhere. Sometimes they're kind of hanging around. let's see. Also from Gen Con, we had the Battlefront 2 space combat footage released. Did you guys see this trailer?
Oh, it looks so good, awesome,
doesn't it? Yeah.
Oh.
It makes me want another game like that that's specifically...
Just Starfighter. Yeah, right. I mean, yeah. I would love to have a, like the old X-Wing and TIE Fighter games. I would love to have just a space combat simulator again. But
I still think those are the best Star Wars themed movie or games ever made.
Mm-hmm.
The X-Wing and TIE Fighter games. Oh, gosh.
Did you guys ever play the two Starfighter titles?
Which one? You mean?
Star Wars Starfighter and Star Wars Jedi Starfighter.
Oh, no, I don't think I ever did, no.
Oh, they're so good.
Yeah?
They're so good. Yeah, they were released for, like, the PlayStation, Xbox era consoles. It was around that period. Starfighter was, like, 2001, and Jedi Starfighter, was out around 2002 because it was in the lead up to Attack of the Clones. Mm-hmm. And then before that, you know, obviously there was like Rogue Squadron and stuff. Mm-hmm. And also a game called Battle for Naboo. It's either Battle for Naboo or Battle of Naboo. I think it's Battle for Naboo. That was also not
where obviously space, the Gungans saved Naboo. We all know it.
Oh Lord.
We all know.
But I definitely recommend playing those games if you're looking for some classic Star Wars titles. Cool. Starfighter and Jedi Starfighter especially, just because they're so different than what you're really expect from a Star Wars game. And it's not like just a jump around and like shoot people. It actually requires a little bit of, you know, concentration and time mm-hmm. and skill. Like some of the levels are pretty not necessarily difficult, but you know, it takes some time to complete it, so it's not just a, you know, run and gun type of game.
Yeah, I mean it's fun when there's some actual strategy to it and consequences, and you know, yeah, going through a whole mission was kind of cool. And that's what I liked about the X-Wing TIE Fighter stuff back in the day too. You had missions to complete, you had objectives you had to maintain. It was good. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Now this link you put in the notes, Tim, I hadn't seen this before, the 10 minutes of gameplay footage. Mm-hmm. All I saw was the trailer with the gameplay, with you know, the space combat gameplay.
Yeah.
So this is even more impressive than I was expecting.
Oh, it's incredible.
this looks like it's its own Starfighter game all by itself, even though it's part of Battlefront 2.
Yeah, this is called this particular mode in Battlefront 2 is called Starfighter Assault. It's apparently a 12-on-12, I believe, the type of combat module. Empire v. Rebels, but it seems that they kind of cross genres. So, like, you can one of the hero starfighters in this on the Rebel side is Poe and Poe's ship. So they do kind of cross the series a little bit here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it looks the gameplay of it looks fantastic. The graphics of it look really great. It seems to have kind of a look and feel of the X-Wing and the TIE Fighter games.
It does.
But really, obviously, trumped up quite a bit from you know what those games were. Gosh, what, 20 years ago?
Oh yeah. So yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yep. Oh, I feel old. so, you know, really cool. And yeah, you get to play the hero ships. The big thing that was in the trailer was that Yoda is piloting a starfighter.
Yeah, that blew my mind.
Which is really cool.
I'm looking at that. I'm like, okay, Yoda in a starfighter. Okay, it doesn't seem legit, you know? I mean, we saw him in the movies when the starfighters were around, and he never went near one,
right?
You know, so it's surprising but kind of cool at the same time. Yeah.
So I mean, other heroes, you like I said, you have Poe as gosh, what is it, like Black One, I think is his call sign in the new film is what they've been saying. And then you
didn't
have
hear that.
The Millennium Falcon, you have Slave One, you have the Sith Infiltrator with Maul, or the what they call it, the Scimitar,
right,
was the name of the ship. So you've got like this really cool array of ships and heroes, very similar to how they did Battlefront. Was kind of you save up points in the game that you can then use to respawn as a hero, and you play that hero for either a period of time or until you get blown up, I guess. And each one of the hero ships also has special abilities. Just really cool. This the trailer is great, but this 10-minute thing, which I assume you can probably find on YouTube, the particular link we have here in the show notes actually goes to Rolling Stone, and it's just awesome.
Yeah, I'm going to have to play this back again sometime after we do this show, because I want to turn the audio on and hear it.
Yeah.
It just looks awesome. It really does give you a feel of this is a space combat simulator.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some nice narration from, it seems to be one of the developers or a couple of the developers who, you know, kind of talk about the gameplay, and you can customize the ships a little bit. You know, obviously your basic ships on the Rebel side are X-Wing, A-Wing, and Y-Wing. And then on the Empire side are the basic TIE, the TIE Advanced, and the TIE Bomber. So really cool. Very, very cool. Looks like a lot of fun.
Sweet. So something to look forward to on November 17th, I think the game comes out.
I think so. Right. Yeah.
Well, only, what, 2 months away? Nice. No, 3 months away. Damn it. let's see. So it looks like John Boyega has been a little loose with his talk about who's coming up for cameos in The Last Jedi.
One of these I really like.
Ooh, should we guess?
Yes. Well, there's not many to choose from, but you can guess.
So let's see. Who has he named in here? Del Toro.
You hit the third paragraph.
You know, I did see part of this before, and I was like, when I first read that, I'm like, did I read this right? Prince Harry and Prince William.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, really? Do we need them? Okay, fine. Let's see, Tom Hardy. That's really it. They announced this one, right?
Yeah. Yeah, seems to be. Tom Hardy is obviously like
he's the
everything
one
now.
Right, right. He is the kind of it guy in Hollywood. So why not put him in here?
Yeah, Chris was is Tom Hardy your?
I'm gonna say Prince William.
Right, Tim is correct.
Damn, always wrong. So, I mean, this is kind of cool. I mean, I like the fact we're doing cameos. I kind of hope if it's going to be a cameo, though, I hope we get to see the person. I mean, I don't know how you guys feel about that. Would that take you guys out of the movie if you saw Prince Harry and recognize him as Prince Harry in the movie? Or would you rather have it like the Daniel Craig cameo where he was there, but, you know, could have been anybody?
I'd rather have it as someone you can see, even if it's, like, as an alien. I'm thinking, like, George Lucas in Return or Revenge of the Sith.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, it makes sense to me. Yep. Because I mean, the whole Daniel Craig thing, I heard about it. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool, but you know, have him take his helmet off at least so we can see it's him. I mean,
did we hear his voice?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Something that identifies them is cool.
Yeah.
If they have like a non-speaking or hidden line, it's kind of lame.
Yeah, right, but his voice was altered a little bit too, though.
Well, it was. I mean, it was altered in so much as he was wearing the Stormtrooper helmet. So the
right. I mean, did you know it was his voice when you heard it?
I think I heard like within days of the movie releasing that he had done something in there as a Stormtrooper. And so when they went through that scene, I had kind of picked it out. I said, geez, that sounds an awful lot like Daniel Craig's voice. And then when I went to watch it again the next day, I'm like, yeah, that's got to be Daniel Craig. And then within a couple of days after that, they said, hey, yeah, he was in this particular scene. So, I mean, to me, it was fairly obvious. But again, I mean, anyone who listens to us on Random Chatter, you guys know I'm a huge Bond fan. Sure. So for me to pick up Daniel Craig's voice was not a big stretch.
Well, then you have much better hearing than I do, sir, because I would never have guessed that until I was told to find it. So my hat's off to you, sir. So that's cool. You think we're going to get any more cameos announced, or you think that's it?
You know, I don't know if they can pack the movie full of them, but we might see one or two others. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, certainly if I was English royalty, I'd be talking to some people and say, hey, can you guys put me into that Star Wars movie you're doing?
Yeah, I suppose if I had that kind of pull, I'd say, yeah. So you guys film in my country, so I could shut you guys down or let me be in the movie.
Yeah. I mean, I can, you know, I can show up on Tuesday if that works for you, or I can make a phone call. What do you like?
Right. I can show up on Tuesday or nobody can show up on Tuesday. Let's see, this next story, you just pop this in here because I didn't see this before.
I think
that'd be me.
Oh, you. Well, then you can take it away, young man.
So the Star Wars or the Han Solo reshoots have claimed a victim.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Like the whole movie?
Not the whole movie, unfortunately.
Oh, okay.
But one of the cast members is having his character cut from the film because he cannot make the reshoots. Michael K. Williams was going to be in the film and has his part cut now.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, I mean, yeah. If you were excited to be in a movie, and then they had this fervor over directors and everything else and direction of the movie and how it's going to be reshot and probably a lot of reshoots. And then all of a sudden say, hey, we need you back. Oh, you can't make it? Oh, yep. Okay, sorry. Well, next time.
Yeah.
Wow.
Do we know what his character was?
We don't know exactly, but he said he was like a half-human, half-animal type. The article here says plot and character details had been kept under wraps, but Williams said he played a half-human, half-animal in the film and that, quote, we created a kick-ass character, in my opinion. I'm proud of it, unquote. But the good news...
I wonder if they're putting somebody else in that role or if they're just rewriting around it.
Probably just rewriting around it. It seems like, based on this and the fact that the movie is continuing, it was probably a small enough part to where...
Yeah,
you know, you could cut it out, but I mean, it's on at this point. It's honestly hard to tell. I mean, you could just speculate all you want because you know there's not enough details even about the movie known.
Yeah,
right.
And the extent of the reshoots and the extent of the changes that are being made by Ron Howard and company is unknown at this point. So it's not like we had Rogue One and we saw stuff that
right he wasn't in the trailer and he's going to get cut out right
now, but I mean, the good news
the thing is this is not an anomaly. I mean, this is something that happens on a pretty regular basis, that whether it's because someone can't make a reshoot or because they just decide, hey, you know what, in editing this like slowed the story down or it was distracting to the story, so we cut this scene and that happened to be the only scene that this character was in, so the character's out. You know, those, I mean, we all know of Cammy and, what was the other character's name from A New Hope that were supposed to be in there at, when they did a scene in Anchorhead.
Oh yeah. With Biggs.
And Biggs. Yeah.
And Luke. Yeah.
So, you know, those characters never showed up there. You know, they were out. So those things happen. I mean, when, In editing, I mean, you're looking at the pacing of the film, you're looking at the structure of the film, and you're really looking at it with a lot of critical eyes. And when you shoot a film, very rarely do films ever actually get shot in sequence.
Yeah.
It's all based on what is cost and time effective. So for we can recycle this set, you know, six times, and it happens to be scenes that are sprinkled throughout the entire film, you know, that's what we're going to do. And you know, one of those or two of those might happen to be at the very end of the film. So nothing ever gets done in sequence. Then once you actually see it in order on film, that's a totally different experience for these directors, and they have to make some pretty tough choices. And in this case, you know, they decided, hey, we need to reshoot this particular scene and the actor couldn't make it. So sorry, you're out. It happens.
It does, but it's sad when something like this, if especially if it was something that he really wanted to do or was happy to be part of.
Oh, sure.
I mean, I guess this is better than having you do all your scenes and have it just end up on a cutting room floor.
Yeah.
And you don't realize that until the movie comes out or something. I'd be like, oh, wait, I was right. Oh, wait.
Yep.
I do have some good news regarding this, and then I want to ask you guys a question that I just thought of. The quote is by him, "I don't think that me not being in the Star Wars family is final. I left with a very good taste in my mouth about the whole family, and I hope that I left a good taste in their mouth. They're a great group of, people, the Lucas family." So it sounds like, you know, maybe he can be brought back in another role in a different film or something. I mean, it's not like we'll be stopped making Star Wars movies after this. Well, at this rate, you never know.
Wow. That's our resident Star Wars hater. So,
well, I'm just saying, the movie comes out in less than a year, and we, you know, still having problems. But
we're still cutting people from the movie.
Yeah, but my question for you guys is, because this news kind of made people take a step back and think, wait a minute, they're still releasing this in May of 2018, so less than a year from now.
Mm-hmm.
They're cutting actors and actresses from potentially from the movie in order to get, you know, this the reshoots done. They're not like waiting just so they can delay it. Do you guys like that idea, or would you rather see them delay the movie till, say, December, and keep these people in, or do you think they should just like stay true to the, you know, the May release schedule? Because I mean, like, think about it. We haven't even got a full trailer for Last Jedi yet, which probably is going to be around October, if I had to guess. Maybe September if we're lucky. And then by that comes out in December, and then we're 5 months away from another movie that we've not even seen marketing for. I mean,
yeah. Well, I mean, I want them to do whatever they need to do to give us a good movie. You know, whether or not I agree with the fact that I want a Han Solo movie, I want it to be the best movie they can possibly make. Now, yeah. I'd be a little bit more worried about this movie if it was somebody other than, or I shouldn't say other than, somebody who's got less experience than Ron Howard. I mean, he was a very experienced director. He's done some great stuff in the past, good track record. If anybody can pull this off and do these kind of things and make these changes at the last minute, I think someone like him can do that. You know, if it was somebody on their first or second film, well, yeah, I'd be a little more worried. What do you think, Tim?
I know some folks have another opinion on this for various reasons. I'm a big fan of the December release for Star Wars films. I think it's just a cool time of year. It's a great thing to do. It's very exciting. It complements product releases very well in marketing, and they can do a lot of stuff with that. So, you know, I like that consistency. That said, I also understand that Hollywood is a business, and to get something out sooner rather than later is what is going to maximize their profit. If they are going to delay by, you know, 7 months, that's a heck of a delay. That's costing them a lot of money. Whether it's in actual real costs of holding on to the film without putting it out there, or this is just simply having to wait to make your money. If you got to cut someone from a film in order to do it, I mean, that's a business decision to make. You know, they're either going to, if Michael K. Williams was some kind of alien, well, they're either going to put someone else in the suit, or they're just going to cut the scene entirely and go without it. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, I agree with you, Lou, that I want them to put it out the best movie they can in the most timely fashion. But I also don't see much need for it, especially if it's going to be May or December. That's a hell of a waiting time. If it's going to be May or July, okay, I can wait until July. But right. Again, like I said, I also like the regularity, and I really wish, you know, I'd like them all to be December.
Well, if we're going to start getting two movies a year, though,
I don't want two movies a year. Seriously, for as much as I love Star Wars, I don't want two movies a year. Give me one movie a year and just give me the time to soak that in and enjoy it for the time that I have with it until the next big thing comes out. Just give me the time with it and give the marketing and the products and all the fringe things, the books, the comics, the everything else that goes with it. Give that stuff some time to be in the market and to get in the hands of fans and kids and all the people who enjoy it. Don't be slamming out two movies a year, because I'm going to punch someone in the face. It's too much. Well, it's overwhelming that I don't agree to the market.
Not that I don't agree with you, but let me be devil's advocate here and say, well, then what about Marvel? I mean, we're getting multiple MCU movies a year. Is that
Marvel
too much?
Has multiple superheroes, though. So they almost have to. Star Wars doesn't have
You can
have
say
that.
The same thing with Star Wars. We're doing the saga movies, which are, the Avengers movies.
You don't need that kind of stuff. In order to keep people, or to keep something like the Avengers relevant, you have to have these stories being told that sets it up, and you can't do that, in one movie. You have to have multiple ones, like the Captain America, Thor, previously Iron Man, stuff like that, Guardians of the Galaxy, Ant-Man. I mean,
we don't need Ant-Man. We can go without Ant-Man.
you don't need, like, the Han Solo movie. I'm going to bet you money, fake money, because I don't have any, that it's not going to be crucial to the overall saga. Whereas something like Rogue One, you don't necessarily need it per se, but I personally think you do. just because it's such a big event and it tells such an important story, that something like that is needed to really move the saga along. Like, for example, if we were getting the stuff released in chronological order, something like Rogue One makes a lot more sense as a prequel to A New Hope, because otherwise you're like, wait a minute, what's the Rebel Alliance? Like, who is this Leia person? Like, where are they coming from?
Plus you get a 45-second horror film at the end of it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which is that, and the entirety of Rogue One is awesome, but just the Darth Vader in the corridor is incredible.
Mm-hmm. Right, but not that A New Hope didn't make sense before we had Rogue One.
Right.
It made perfect sense.
I think in terms of the Marvel stuff, it's working for Marvel because Marvel is telling a bigger story with a lot more moving pieces to it. And they can't, I guess they could. If you did some more creative writing, you could make the leaps that they have made in Star Wars. Because when you look at things in Star Wars, there's a lot of gaps between several of these movies. And so you kind of make assumptions on the introduction of new characters without backstories and that kind of stuff. In Marvel, they're doing this very fast-paced thing because they're building these massive story arcs, which involve a lot of characters and a lot of moving pieces and a lot of background. There's a lot of connections between them. And one, like Chris said, you got to maintain interest. So you need to have 2 to 3 films out every year to maintain interest. Two, when you're looking at an arc of films, which is, eight films long, and you're only going to do one a year, you're going to burn contracts really fast.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to start the Tony Stark you started off with is not going to be the Tony Stark you end up with, because they're going to look like, the actor ages. They're going to look like two completely different people by the time you get from A to B, or A to Z rather. So I think for them, it makes sense. And for the branding that they have, it makes sense. For Star Wars, especially when we're doing the back and forth thing, where we're doing, hey, here's a saga film. Here's a, I don't even remember what the heck name they're giving them now.
Star Wars story.
The Star Wars story film. So, jumping back and forth, it's just, you're doing things that aren't even connected. And if you're going to do it very rapid fire, multiple films per year, I'm not interested in that. I want time. And for as much of a fan as I am of the Marvel stuff, I'm a much bigger fan of Star Wars, and I want time to soak that in.
Yep.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, I can see your points. I don't agree with them 100%. I wouldn't mind having 2 films a year, a saga film and a Star Wars story film, but, I'm okay either way.
I think a lot of this, too, has to deal with our apathy towards the film itself. Like, if we were getting, let's say we had something completely different that was actually exciting, such as a Obi-Wan Kenobi movie, maybe we'd be a little bit more excited about having
what? Two films
a year. But
well, we're going to talk about that in a couple minutes. But before we jump into that, the new guy has something he wants to throw at us.
The new guy. Blame the new guy. All right, so here it is. Here's what I'm proposing. Just something fun. We don't have to spend a lot of time on it. There's something that we can throw in between our news and our discussion pieces is just a little bit of like fun facts or trivia. And what I'm proposing here is that as we go through our shows week to week, that we kind of, you know, rotate the responsibility for this. And one of us comes up with a fun fact or trivia piece, try to stump the others, try to stump the other hosts. And I think it's fun for us and, you know, hopefully fun for the listeners. And if they don't like it, maybe we'll just keep doing it anyway if it's fun for us. I don't know. No, we like our listeners. And certainly, actually, if our listeners have anything that they want to throw in on this too, they can. I mean, don't send it to all of us, because if the goal here is to stump the others, then you just kind of want to send it to one of us. So you can, like, DM one of us on Twitter, or if you're one of our Patreon donors, go patreon.com/randomchatter. You can hit us up with a private message on Slack, something like that, and then we can, you know, integrate it in that way, and we'll certainly give you a shout out for it. But here it is. So for the first one, since this was my idea, I came armed and ready to go with something, so I wasn't just dumping it on you guys. You guys are familiar with the character of Boba Fett, right?
Nope, never heard of him.
Boba who?
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, is he that clone guy?
Yeah.
He was in Attack of the Clones. Yeah.
So he wasn't the guy with the floppy ears that talked funny, right?
No.
Okay.
Wait, no. He wasn't the. Well, he technically. I was going to say he wasn't the green guy, but he technically is the green guy. He's not the little green guy.
I'm sorry, Tim. Go ahead.
That's right.
Okay, so I'm Googling Boba Fett right now.
So you guys know there were several actors who played Boba Fett throughout the film. We had young Boba Fett, and then even between the three original trilogy films, we had some different actors who played him. Who is the actor who most famously played Boba Fett? What's the one that jumps to mind for you guys?
Whoever was the one that played him in the holiday special.
The holiday special? No. Wow.
Yeah.
No, the one jumps out to me is Jeremy Bullock.
Yeah, Jeremy Bullock. Is generally the most famous. Now, so here's the big question. What other famous film franchise, and no cheating, you guys can't like IMDb this. What other famous film franchise did Jeremy Bullock appear in?
Other film franchise?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to ask for a hint. And say,
can I phone a friend?
Well, you can't phone me, Luke, because I don't know the answer. Is it a film franchise, or isn't it adaptation of something?
Oh, it's a film franchise.
Okay. So it's not like, for example, Harry Potter, which is an adaptation of a book.
Okay, wait. I'd like to know what era is, or like what decade?
Oh, multiple decades.
Oh, great.
Multiple decades.
I'm going to have a guess here.
Okay.
This is my original thought. Is it James Bond?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Which really? Actually, after I answer your question, James Bond is technically an adaptation, since some of them at least were books originally.
That's why I asked.
Yeah.
I think I've heard this before.
Yeah. So Jeremy Bullock played a character called Smithers, who appeared in two Bond films. He appeared first in For Your Eyes Only in 1981, and second in Octopussy, 1983. Smithers was one of Q's trusted lab assistants. And I think the scene, I believe it was from Octopussy, which was kind of the more famous one. They're in Q's laboratory, and, you know, it's usually people like shooting each other and low torches and explosions, and it's kind of like a firing range inside the lab as they're testing all sorts of different equipment. And Smithers, played by Jeremy Bullock, had like a battering ram that popped out of an arm cast, like you'd wear if you broke your arm. So he was actually the character that played that. And for Your Eyes Only, he was uncredited. He was credited for the role in Octopussy, but with his last name ending with a K instead of an H, which is how it's properly spelled.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah. So that's your fun facts or trivia, however you want to term it, for Echo Base 110.
Now, you know, I'm looking through IMDb as you're talking about this stuff too to see he was also in The Spy Who Loved Me.
Oh, was he? I missed that.
He played an HMS Ranger crewman.
Oh. Huh.
Interesting. Yeah. So he's got quite a history with James Bond.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I thought that was kind of that was a cool thing actually that I had just picked up maybe a couple weeks ago, and I said, "Hey, no way, he's in Bond too." I thought that was pretty cool.
That's a pretty cool fact. I like that, Tim. Thank you.
So, who is going to challenge us with some trivia next week?
I vote Chris.
Well, there it is. Thanks, Chris. Thank you, Chris, for being
so that was equal to me taking a step backward.
Yes.
When we're standing in the line.
Y'all know you're going to have to remind me, right? Because I will forget.
Well, here's a good reminder. Once this episode is posted, listen to it, and then you'll remember.
Oh, I got to do this tonight. Yeah. Okay. Well, we did promise you more information about movies, or at least talk about movies coming up in not so much official release type stuff, but rumors, speculation, our thoughts on it. There's been some stuff released lately within the last week or so. I think by Variety has done most of the stuff, right, Tim?
Yeah, Variety has put some stuff out, and then there's been others which have just been really bad journalism.
So the first one we can talk about that's got, I mean, at least Variety's posting about this, and they're a pretty reputable source, is a Kenobi movie in the works at Lucasfilm.
In discussion. It is in discussion. That's like as early as it is.
And that's still in the works. I mean.
Yeah.
They're working on it, maybe, you know, talking about it. So, now, there's no love lost between at least myself and Chris. I'm not sure how Tim feels about Han Solo. I think we're all in the same boat. That we don't really want the Han Solo movie.
Yawn.
We're going to get it. I'm going to watch it. Of course, it's Star Wars. I'm going to go. But, you know, there's other movies I'd rather see. I think a Kenobi movie in the right era of his life would be something I would really, really want to see.
Yeah. I think it'd be very exciting.
I mean, if this was in the same time frame as the now legend Kenobi book... I think that'd be great. Are you guys both on board with a Kenobi novel or a Kenobi movie?
I think it would be. Chris never read it. it's just an assumption I'm going to make, and it's. I'd probably put money on that.
It's probably accurate. I put money on it too.
I actually have a funny story about that book.
But go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that. I have it because Obi-Wan is my favorite character. I've not had the motivation to read it. That being said, I did take it to Celebration in April and have it signed by John Jackson Miller. Unfortunately, cool. I was not able for... I can't remember what I was doing that day, but I couldn't get it signed, so I had somebody take it to the table and get it signed for me. I want to say it was Tim.
No, I did not.
Maybe Lou?
No.
Well, someone did.
Someone got signed for you.
Because it's in my backpack right now.
And I'll tell you.
Carry it with you everywhere, but you haven't read it yet. Okay.
No, it's in my backpack when I moved out of my apartment.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I will tell you, I've read some of John Jackson Miller's other stuff, non-Star Wars. He writes some really incredible sci-fi. And in doing so, I've actually bought stuff directly off of his site, and I've had correspondence with him by way of email and Twitter and stuff. And he is he's a heck of a nice guy. Really, really great. So I just kind of as a side there, I think he's pretty awesome.
I actually agree with you, Tim. I was walking by myself at Celebration and I happened to pass by him, and I actually stopped, and chatted with him and just was like, "Hey, I like your books, because I've actually read a couple of his.
Does he know you don't read?
I like your books. I've never read them, but I like them.
Hey, now, I actually did read A New Dawn.
Would you sign? Oh, no, I don't have it. I'll send someone. I have people. I'll send someone.
Chris, we kid, Chris, so. We kid.
And he's done some Halo work as well, so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, speaking of that and John Jackson Miller, I mean, I don't think they're going to use the Kenobi book for a movie.
I hope not.
I mean, I don't think that would be the case. Maybe they'll take elements from the book, which would be kind of cool.
Yeah, I don't think they'll use it either. For as much as I enjoyed the book, it doesn't. I don't think that it has enough action in it to translate well to a film that Star Wars fans are really going to appreciate. John Jackson Miller, he accomplished exactly what he wanted to with the book. When he first started talking about it and he was first pitching ideas with the folks at Lucasfilm and Del Rey, it was about basically making a Western. Because it was putting Obi-Wan as a hermit onto this desert planet where he's never really spent much time before and trying to watch over baby Luke while he's still kind of trying to make his own way, hiding as a Jedi, but he's still morally not able to let go of being a Jedi. And so he ends up helping people and stuff. And so there's your summary of the story, which in essence, I mean, that summary, I think overall could work very well, but then you're also stuck with the, well, gee, if there's a lot of Jedi stuff to it and that's who Obi-Wan is, then it does kind of come to reason that you would then be led to think, well, gee, he's not really hiding very well. So I have to imagine they would put it in another setting and another time period of Obi-Wan's life.
I disagree, Tim.
I think they need to dovetail into that, but I think Tim's right. They can't make it all about him being on Tatooine. How impressive would that be as him hiding?
Well, see, here's the thing. Obi-Wan it's already been established that he's on Tatooine in Revenge of the Sith. Mm-hmm. He's on Tatooine in the comics. He's on Tatooine in Rebels. He's on Tatooine in A New Hope. Right. Yes, you can go to other places, and quite honestly, I would much rather them get off Tatooine and do something else. But I don't think they can. Just because, I mean, his whole goal for staying there is to watch over Luke.
Mm-hmm.
And how awful do you think Obi-Wan would feel if he went off on some mission when he's not even supposed to do it because he's already, you know, resigned himself from being a Jedi, aside from the whole Rebels cameo. But how would you, like, you can't have him go off and do something and potentially leave Luke all, you know, by himself.
Right.
No, I'm saying do it earlier. I mean, make this about him in the Clone Wars or becoming a Jedi Knight or his initial training. Okay,
but here's the thing. Ewan McGregor has aged since Revenge of the Sith.
True.
And you can't have him look older during Clone Wars than he did in Revenge of the Sith.
Right. I mean, maybe you don't use Ewan McGregor.
And that's where this idea falls completely apart from me.
I know. He is a big draw for that, and he is for me, too. But
unless the only way I would take this is if they made a Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan film pre-episode one, I would like this idea.
I'd be all over that, yeah.
I hate the idea of recasting Ewan and Liam in those roles, but I would accept it, simply because I'm really wanting something pre-episode one right now.
I would love to see more Qui-Gon.
Yes.
Obviously my, you know, Twitter handle, Qui-Gon Tim, and I love Qui-Gon. I think he's just one of the most fantastic characters and so hugely unexplored. But I don't think that will happen. I think this is going to be very Obi-Wan focused. Mm-hmm. Obviously everyone wants it to be Ewan McGregor, even Ewan McGregor. For years, mm-hmm. he has said, I will come back. I am more than happy to come back. He liked the character. I'm sure he appreciated the money. And, you know, he likes Star Wars stuff. So I think he would definitely jump in on it if they made him the offer. And I think they'd be silly not to, unless for some reason it didn't make sense. I mean, you can, there are some things that can be done well enough with makeup and such to make someone look younger or make someone look older. I certainly would not encourage them to go the extent of any type of CG type of work to do that. I think that would not.
I hope not.
Yeah. But I mean, they could move his age around, you know, probably 15 or 20 years either way, pretty successfully.
Hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think it's going to be a movie about him older. You know, wrapping up, moving into A New Hope, I would think.
Yeah, I maybe you could make like right before Revenge of the Sith type thing, like a Clone Wars esque thing, and make it work, because I'm looking at pictures of him from this year and he doesn't look like too old, I guess, compared to Revenge of the Sith, but I don't know.
He's a pretty youthful looking guy.
Yeah.
I mean, certainly not what he was in Phantom Menace, but he's still right. A pretty youthful looking guy.
I mean, who is?
True.
We all age. But no, you're right. I mean, there's a lot that can do with this. I think, you know, you guys both said, I think we have to have it where he's older. It's more Kenobi-centric. It's going to be Ewan McGregor. So you can't really make him too young. You could play this movie a lot of ways to make it work well, but not if you want to use Ewan McGregor.
Yeah. And it was never even confirmed that, you know, he was in talks to, you know, reprise the role, which, again, that worries me. But, I don't know how I've... I mean, we've already had, you know, two actors playing him in the live action. We've already had two voice actors. So, I mean, I don't know. Just bugs me.
Well, what bugs me even more is some of the other rumors that have been floating around.
Oh, come on, Lou. You don't want to see a Jabba the Hutt movie?
That's the one that bugs me the most. When I read that, and I was like, did I read that right? Let me read that again. Yeah, I read that right. This is unbelievable. Who would want to see a Jabba the Hutt movie? I mean, I don't get it.
I'm going to call it right now. The Han Solo movie is a prequel.
The
Jabba the Hutt movie.
Oh, wow. The thing that bothers me the most, so to put this out there big picture, so there are three other titles that are being kind of tossed around, or three other main characters. Boba Fett, Yoda, and Jabba the Hutt. And what ticks me off about this is poor journalism. This is probably what actually upsets me the most. So we have entities. Gosh, do I want to call them out?
Yes, what you do.
Yeah, sure, why not?
Okay. So comicbook.com. The title, Star Wars Boba Fett and Yoda movies confirmed to be in development. No, they're not. They never were anywhere. No one confirmed anything about these movies. Someone may have mentioned them somewhere or floated them, but they are not, quote, in development. I guess I would argue that the Obi-Wan movie is probably, at least from the things that we've read, is more in development because they are actually, it seems to be that they're scoping it. These movies aren't even being scoped. I mean, they're just... It's like us mentioning that, you know, Chris is going to show up to Comic-Con as a Gungan. That's not confirming anything. That's, you know, some speculation. That's casual discussion. So I'm so ticked off about these things. And the particular quote here, comes, let's see, it says that Obi-Wan Kenobi standalone is one of several projects being developed by Lucasfilm and Disney. They'll fall outside the trilogies, blah, blah, blah. They mentioned the Han Solo movie, and they're also looking at movies featuring Yoda and Bounty Hunter Boba Fett, among others.
Well, that is what looking the Variety at is not development.
But looking at is not development. That's yeah. that's.
Well, yeah, it's, again,
it's somewhere on their maybe list.
I'm gonna
which play then just 1 second. Which then the Jabba thing ended up also on there. So, but go ahead, Chris.
I was gonna say I'm gonna play devil's advocate here and say that Variety literally says the word development. The quote is. Blah, blah, blah. Rogue One was the first of standalones, and Disney is currently shooting an untitled origin tale of beloved smuggler Han Solo. Some of the other standalones in development include a Jabba the Hutt story and a Boba Fett movie.
Right. I mean, I did read that in Variety as well, too. They did say in development, and development could mean a lot of things.
I guess it could. You guys are right. And coming from Variety is also kind of disappointing because... To me, if something comes, Variety is kind of among the better news rags out there. If they say something, it's probably just short of confirmation. I mean, of course, we've seen nothing come out from Disney, Lucasfilm, StarWars.com, none of that on any of these. So just right. put that out there.
Until that's been said, these are pure speculation.
Yeah. It seems that the Kenobi movie seems to be the one that is most likely and that we have the most confidence about. The other films, I think right now are just very, very loose discussion / speculation. But yeah, picking apart these individual ones, obviously not everyone. There are some naysayers. A lot of people have been in favor of a Boba Fett film.
That's been talked about for a long time as potential.
Oh yeah, yeah. Absolutely. And I mean, I'm sitting here right now wearing a Boba Fett shirt. Yoda could be interesting. And I know there's just like Boba Fett, there's some people saying, hey, we love Yoda. We'd love to see more about him and demystify it. And there's other people who say, yeah, no, we like the mystery of Yoda. We're good. Jabba, what in the world would they do with a Jabba movie? I mean, really, you would subtitle the whole damn movie? I can't say that, can I?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
Well, you know, I mean, I can kind of see this working one way. If they do this as, you know, an underworld movie about, you know, the seedier side of things on Tatooine, and Jabba is, you know, there. He's not in every scene. He's not part of the, he is the story because he's the main guy. But we're not going to have him in every scene. The scenes will be told through, the story will be told through his underlings and what they're doing and mm-hmm. the whole corruption aspect of it.
Right.
But, and that would give you some tie into, you know, how his organization's run, what he actually did, you know, on a day-to-day basis. But,
right.
you know, you're getting that through the story being told of all the people around him, not him.
So you're saying... Do a Jabba film in the style of Godfather.
Yeah, you could do that. Exactly.
So it's really about the Jabba crime syndicate.
Yep.
Ultimately back to Jabba, but yeah, it's about the people that surround Jabba.
Yeah, all his lieutenants and everything else. You're right. You could be, you know, the Godfather. You know, well, Jabba is kind of the Godfather, right? I mean, he's,
yeah.
You know, he's the head of a crime family, right?
Well, and you can equate him to an overweight Marlon Brando. So, all due respect to Marlon Brando,
they both looked out. Yeah, that's right. They do. There's a similarity. So I can see that one of these three. The other two, I don't want. Just like I don't want a Han Solo movie. I mean, I don't need to know his backstory. I know enough about Han Solo to like the character and not want to know any more. There's no real, I mean, there's gaps, there's holes in how he gets certain things, but, you know, we kind of know what happened. I mean, he's a smuggler. You know, I mean, it works itself out. The other two, Jabba and Yoda, I vehemently don't want to know because what makes Boba Fett so intriguing to me is that we don't know what about him. you pull that curtain back and give me all the details, I'm not going to be as happy.
No, see, I think we know plenty about Boba Fett, at least in terms of little snippets along his journey. We obviously know what happened to him as a kid, watching Daddy get decapitated. That's a pretty freaking, like, traumatic thing.
Mm-hmm, yep.
We saw a little bit of him in the Clone Wars animated series, there was also unreleased footage that was supposed to be in the last season, which was pretty awesome, which got shown at Celebration. And then we kind of jump ahead and we get, at least in the doctored edition, we saw a little snippet of him in A New Hope and the hangar on Tatooine. And then obviously we saw a lot of him in the next two films. But so, I mean, I think we kind of get his progression, but I would love to see, I mean, I would just like to see more content of Boba Fett. I would like to see a little bit more character development of him as a bounty hunter in a story that is not focused on Han and Luke and the main characters. I want to see of Boba Fett in his ship, chilling, eating some, you know, microwave mac and cheese, and going out and you know, hey, one day I take a bounty from the Empire. The other day I get paid by the Rebel Alliance to go, you know, right, whack somebody.
We have enough of a background on Boba Fett. Like you said, we know about his childhood. We know how he became what he became without knowing all the details and the day-to-day, you know, actions of what he was doing. Make it another, you know, give me a Mandalorian's movie. Don't give me a Boba Fett movie.
No, Lou.
Give me something about...
Lou, microwave mac and cheese on Slave One. Come on.
Now, if he was eating a Gungan, like, there you go. That might be something...
They could do a Boba Fett movie. Okay, so here, the Boba Fett movie, just like the Jabba movie was in the style of The Godfather, the Boba Fett movie is in the style of Deadpool. I'm sorry. Okay, I made billions of dollars. There it is. Lucasfilm, take my idea, please. You have to pay me no royalties. Just have at it and create awesome.
I don't see Boba Fett doing any kind of scene with... what's her name there?
Marina Baccarin?
Yeah. I just don't see that.
Yeah, that's probably not going to happen. But
unless you keep the helmet on. Yeah, you keep the helmet on, maybe, you know, I don't know.
But Boba Fett is known for breaking the fourth wall. He's one of the few Star Wars characters to ever do it.
Thinking about these three characters...
Thank you, Chris.
Okay, first of all, I don't want to see any of these three, Fett, Yoda, or Jabba. Like, it's just, no. We can focus on more important and honestly better things than any of these. However, if we have to, and I want to say all three of these before you guys chime in, and you can tell me which ones you would like and which ones you wouldn't. Jabba the Hutt, I think standalones need to not necessarily focus on a character. Or an event. It can focus on literally anything. It doesn't have to be a specific thing that we already know about. Maybe make Jabba the Hutt something like of what they were doing with the Underworld TV series. That was going to show like the grittier part of the Star Wars universe. Maybe something like what we were getting in that 1313 video game. Mm-hmm. And maybe Jabba can be like the head honcho, you know, similar to the Godfather, but he's not like the main focus. As for Yoda, you really can't do anything in between his appearances in Sith and Empire because he's on Dagobah. Like we know that's where he is. In fact, I don't know if it's technically canon or not, but there's that deleted scene of him arriving on Dagobah, and I'm pretty sure that's in the novelization too. I might be wrong, but I think it
is.
That'd
be a thrilling movie of him in the swamp.
Oh God, just him progressively like going insane from living on Dagobah.
Actually, if I can interrupt for 1 second, the scene of him you know, sensing Luke Skywalker coming to the Dagobah and going, oh my God, a person. Oh my God, yeah. I'm so excited. Oh my God, somebody else is here.
But if it would be Yoda.
My home this is.
If it would be Yoda, it'd have to be Clone Wars, which I'm really not all about, just because we saw a lot of that with the TV show. But maybe something pre-Phantom Menace again? I don't want to harp on that too much, but
I'm done with that.
You could do that. Mm-hmm. And then finally for Boba Fett, God, I don't want this at all, just because Boba Fett is so overrated, but...
Stop.
He is. I'm sorry. He is.
My t-shirt says you're wrong.
There's nothing really to tell, like, during the original trilogy that would make that arc better. I mean, you could do something, maybe, like, have him escape the Sarlacc pit. And because honestly, he reminds me of Wolverine from X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys can probably tell where I'm going to go with this, but he is one of those characters that is popular.
Old man,
but yeah, exactly. That's what I'm getting at. But like, people don't really know what to do with him. I mean, we saw a bunch of Wolverine focused media. But nothing really like captured the hearts of anybody or was really successful and praised until we get to Logan. And honestly, that's something that I would absolutely love to see is, you know, not necessarily old man Fett, but, you know, something where he's just like, he's not like top of his game. I mean, you guys, we saw him get put down in the Sarlacc pit by a blind guy. Like, how your confidence is pretty much shot whenever that happens. So, you know, assuming he would get out of the pit, you know, he's not going to be like the rowdy, tough bounty hunter that, you know, he's claimed to be. You know, show something like Logan was, where, you know, you have this more personal side of his story. And, you know, it's not necessarily about him, you know, going around shooting people or getting bounties. It's more about, you know, finding himself and you know, getting reacquainted and maybe... Because I personally think that after seeing Logan, I appreciated the character of Wolverine a lot more than I did before. And it gave me a whole new perspective on it. And I think that given that Boba Fett is somebody that... is so divided when it comes to people that you either love him or hate him. I think a film in that regard would do wonders for his credibility and his integrity.
Well, and speaking of Logan, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and as we all know, you know, Logan was a huge, huge, massive success.
Yeah.
So, you know, seeing something like that in the Star Wars universe would be great.
Now, speaking of Logan, this is a great segue. I'm proud of myself for this one. Daniel Logan, who played young Boba Fett in the prequels, is of a great age right now to actually play Boba Fett.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to have him come back. But my only request would actually, though, be that that Boba Fett be voiced by someone else. I would want him to be voiced by Brecken Meyer, who voiced him in Robot Chicken, because the Boba Fett voice of in Robot Chicken was just fantastic. No, you guys aren't sold on that.
Right. I'm good with it. I mean, I don't have, you know, I don't want to see the movie anyway, so you know, I just don't think we need it.
One of these days, we will get a Star Wars movie that universally is agreed upon as needed and something that every single person wants to see.
See, I mean, well, yeah, you know, I was thinking about this while you guys were talking, and what kind of makes it for me, and I loved the idea behind it, and in execution, I love the movie Rogue One. It wasn't focusing on a character. It was focusing on an event, a story, telling me something that I wanted to know about. I don't need a backstory on Boba Fett. We kind of already have that. I don't want to do more detail on him. I don't need to know more about Yoda. I mean, we've had that. Let's get something new. Let's do a story about, I don't know, you know, pick something that we haven't seen before and let's do it.
I mean, now that you mentioned
that, to me, is more interesting.
What events? I mean, there were from the original trilogy. There was always that mention of the Clone Wars, and mm-hmm. so that was something that was like really mysterious to us for forever, until the prequels then developed that, and then obviously the animated series. Are there any other events mentioned in any Star Wars film that, and I know I'm putting us on the spot here because I can't even think of anything right now, that you would want to have that story told? You'd want to see that story told in film?
Good question. And you're right. I'm on the spot. I can't think of anything off the top of my head that was mentioned, at least.
But something to think about, and I'll even throw that one out to listeners too. You know, hit us up.
Yeah.
You guys know how to get a hold of us. And let us know if there's a story that you can think of that was, you know, vaguely or directly referenced in any of the Star Wars films that was never actually told that you think would make for a great film. Because I do agree with you, Lou. I think that one of the big successes of Rogue One was not particularly following a specific character. It was telling a great story.
Mm-hmm. And even if they took the Clone Wars concept and went for, you know, tell me a thrilling victory that the Rebels had, or a crushing defeat they were dealt by the Empire. You can do that if one portion of the war. I mean, you know, I mean, you enjoyed Dunkirk. I didn't, but, you know, tell me a story about one aspect of something that happened. Tell me a key decisive battle that maybe we haven't even heard about yet, but tell that story. That, to me, would be very fascinating. Tell me the subjugation of a world that the Empire, you know, was using for resources or you know, gathering troops from or whatever. But tell me something in the Star Wars universe that would be, you know, akin to something that we've already known or part of something that we've been exposed to.
I have two answers, actually.
I have one also. I have one also. Go ahead, Chris.
Okay, my first answer, because you did ask about events that could be told that we could know about. The first is that time that Obi-Wan and Anakin fell into the nest of Gundarks.
You know, I thought of that, but I'm trying to stay away from characters. But yeah, no, I see your point.
Well, the second one's definitely about a character. Are you ready? This would be the best one out of all of these.
If you mention Jar Jar, I'm hanging up.
Why was Jar Jar banished?
God, see, I knew it.
Tim, well, go.
It had something to do with the boss's hate liver, but what I'm thinking, and while it does, at least the reference in the films references a specific character, I think there's a broader story to be told, and it would be kind of a neat subgenre within this, like very cloak and daggery, would be the whole story of Sifo Dyas and the deal with the Kaminoans about the clones and
you
know, where exactly, because that's a story that has not been told. There has been some reference to it. There's been a lot of speculation. Was it actually Sifo Dyas? Was it the Emperor? Was it Plagueis? Was there manipulation by them? There's just so many thoughts about what that could be. And that's obviously a really pivotal thing. The mm-hmm. creation of the clone army. And I would love to have that story told. And like I said, I think it could be very cloak and daggery. You know, it's a very subversive thing, and it makes me very excited now. That's what I want. That's absolutely what I want. Do it. Make it happen.
Right now. I'll get right on that.
You know what? You know what? A lot of this that we're talking about, honestly, it just makes me wish we had a Star Wars anthology series set in the vein of like the Twilight Zone, where we just get, you know, these different stories that are told. You know, it doesn't have to be something that's like, you know, really really developed and concise. It can be something broad, or it can be even something, you know, more specific. You know, like, why was Jar Jar banished? I mean, I know that's something that I said as a joke, but it's true. I mean, you could tell that story, and it's not really meant for book form. I mean, you can do it in a comic, but
and it doesn't have to be feature length film.
Exactly, and you can even, if you want to, you can even do it in animation.
Sure,
Yeah. You know, there are so many ideas out there for different either TV shows or animated series or, you know, movies that could be awesome that are more risky. And I think, you know, we talked about this in Slack, how, you know, Disney's playing it safe and they're not really going off reservation to give us something unique and new. You know, they're sticking to the, you know, Kenobi, Fett, you know, Yoda, Jabba the Hutt. They're not giving us those other stories. I mean, you know, tell me a story about, I don't know, one of the ship manufacturers and why they sided with the Rebels versus, you know, the Imperial side. Mm-hmm. And how that plays out. I mean, how do you sustain, you know, your production lines if you're building ships for the Rebel Alliance, which is obviously going against, you know, the Empire, which is ruling the galaxy? How right. do you survive? I mean, how, you know, there's all kinds of stuff that can be told. And that may not be a very exciting version of things we're having our thoughts on. But, you know, tell me that. Work that in with the Rogue Squadron TV series or something. You know, all this stuff that there's out there that they're tangential to the story we already know, but they don't involve the main characters and don't have tie into that.
Exactly.
I mean, that's what I want to see. I mean, was it Justin that said this back in the day when he was in the Force cast that, you know, the Galaxy Far, Far Away seems like the, you know, the world around the neighborhood. It's too close. It's too tight. It's not expansive enough.
Yeah.
Tell me some of these stories that we haven't exposed to yet. I don't need to go back to the well of, you know, Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah. And Boba Fett. That not only frees up some of the, like, if you do this in something that's not movie form, especially as like an anthology TV series, one, you're doing something new that Star Wars hasn't done before. Clone Wars kind of did it at times with its filler episodes, but, you know, eventually it got more arc-based, because Rebels is definitely more arc-based now. You do something new. You can free up the standalone movies to be more prominent, I guess you could say. And three, and this is something that I would love, if you tell some of the stories in like a TV series form, be it animated, live action, or otherwise, you stop making so many friggin' books. and seriously though, like, there mm-hmm. are people that said that some of the books that were released, the more favorable ones, would make for like a good movie or for a good TV show. And, you know, I'm inclined to agree with them.
The tough part about the books, you know, they tell some fantastic stories with the books, and one of the reasons, I guess, why they ended up taking what we previously had and making it Legends was because they couldn't fit, that there was no room for the new trilogy that they wanted to tell, because the books had obviously already gone in a certain direction. And in the long run, I think that problem would have just continued to be perpetuated, because you would have had just so many stories told by way of the books. It really would have boxed out a lot of opportunity for film. Well, yes, you could have translated some of those into film and done some adaptations. You would have been challenged to create new stories and some new direction. And while we currently have the story group, which is kind of putting their stamp of approval on all canonical content that goes out there, I'm hoping that, you know, 15 years down the road, they don't regret the stuff that they're putting out now and saying, ah, we got to do another reset. We got to now throw this other set of things out and make it, you know, Legends Part 2, because there's another story that we want to tell in film, and the books and comics don't allow us to do that. So I'm just hoping that history doesn't repeat itself, and that we don't produce so much content. And I think the stuff that's come out, actually, I got to say, I think the comics have been better than the books lately in this new thread of canon. There have been some great books. I mean, I still think the Thrawn book was outstanding. Just finished Inferno Squad last week, and that was incredible. I'm really, really excited about some of these books, and some of them have been really mediocre. So.
Hmm.
But that's where I am.
Okay, well, I mean, I think we've had a pretty lively discussion about this, tell you the truth, and I'm excited to hear what our listeners have to say about what movies they want to see, what topics we didn't touch on here that might make a great movie. And let us know if you really want to see, you know, Fett, Yoda, Jabba the Hutt, and Kenobi all hit the big screen. Maybe we're way off base, but, you know, I'd love to hear what you guys think. Send us your feedback. You can do that by just sending an email to echobase@randomchatter.com. It's the best way to get a hold of all three of us. And we'll hopefully get some good feedback from you and maybe talk about it again on another episode.
Yeah, make your case for why we should be seeing this stuff, because I'm curious about other people's ideas for some of these. You can also let us know in our social media accounts. We have our Facebook. It's facebook.com/randomchatternetwork. The show Twitter is at Echo Base Podcast. The network Twitter is at Random Chatter. My Twitter is at The Curse of Chris. Lou, what is yours?
Mine's just my name. It's Lou Secchi. That's Lousecki.
And Tim.
Yeah, Qui-Gon Tim. That's Tim with two M's.
And don't forget, you can find all of our shows at randomchatter.com.
Also, please be sure to spread the word and support us. Tell your friends, family members, co-workers, total strangers, whoever you happen to encounter. Tell them about Echo Base. Tell them about Random Chatter Network. You come across folks who are Star Wars fans, you know, let them know. Talk to them about what kind of podcast they listen to, and certainly be sure to mention us. We greatly appreciate that. What also helps is leaving some reviews on the places that you happen to find your podcast, like iTunes or Stitcher. You know, definitely hit up all the stars or whatever function they have on there and throw in some narrative about why you like us. That kind of narrative, I know, usually helps people to figure out, you know, amongst the dozens or hundreds of podcasts that they have options to listen to, as to, you know, what ones they're going to pick. So put some good stuff in there. Patreon, you folks, unless you're a brand new listener, you have heard us talk about Patreon. A little bit of financial contribution is basically crowdsourcing, so a little bit of money can go a long way for us when you have a bunch of people who are contributing. And the funds that all of you donate, I mean, basically, all of you who contribute to us by way of Patreon, you are our sponsors. And we really greatly appreciate that. We could, I guess, do it without you, but we'd be taking money out of our own pockets, and we wouldn't have, you know, like, all of our episodes up. We'd probably only have a couple at a time, and that's about it. So the funds that you guys throw at us, they definitely help out. Patreon.com/randomchatter. You can see all the cool new perks that we have on there. The minimum is $1 a month. That gets you access to our Slack channel, which is just an online chat room with actually a bunch of smaller rooms in it that we can talk about Star Wars and movies and TV and literature and music and all sorts of different things, along with a lot of our different shows. You get to hang out on Slack with all the hosts and a lot of other fans and our staff. And we have a good time. We have some lively discussion pretty much every single day. So we have a good time on there. That's just $1 a month. You can also contribute any other quantity that you want. 5, 10, 15, 20, up to 30 in increments of 5. We have established perks for those, and it's cumulative. If you want to contribute more than that, which we would greatly appreciate, hit us up, and, you know, we can have you know, Lou dress up as Jabba the Hutt or something, and you know, like, slither up and down your street.
Thanks, Tim. Thanks a lot.
That's just not going where we need it to go. So
that's an image nobody wants to see.
No, no. Oh, Patreon.com/randomchatter. Patreon.com/randomchatter.
Oh goodness, Tim, you cracked me up. I'm glad Lou was the butt of the joke and not me.
I'm always the butt of the joke.
Finally, the music you hear on the podcast is The Force Theme by Scandroid and The Imperial March by Seldhaler.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll come back at you in another week with more thrilling news of Tim dressing up as Jar Jar at New York Comic Con.
Oh, man.
Good night.